Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and you're at the Right Now Mastermind class for December 2013. I've titled this call, What's in Your Toolbox? How to Make 2014 Your Most Productive Writing Year Ever. And I've been talking about it in terms of three things: vision, focus, and productivity tips. And so I want to take each of those in turn. If you want to mute yourself, push star 6. That's going to give us a nice, clean sounding line, or as clean sounding as we can and make it. It's good to have so many of you here. So when I started to think about today's call and thinking about, well, what keeps me productive? What keeps my clients productive? What do the people who produce the most amount of writing in a year have in common? It was very simple things. It wasn't this special kind of discipline. It wasn't the ability to tie myself to the desk for hours. It was just some really... I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody just because I'm getting a little feedback. When I started to look at what keeps me productive, what keeps me disciplined, it wasn't some specific inner thing that I was born with. And it wasn't some fancy app or some fancy tool. It was just very simple things around three areas: vision, focus, and then some really specific productivity tools. So what I want to do is share those with you now in turn. So we're going to go kind of through everything. And the session is designed to really give you some simple tools that are going to help you be productive. If you've been following along on the blog, every Tuesday I've been presenting you with some ideas for imagining your future, the last one being a way of kind of connecting your assets to create actions. And once the new year happens, I'll be presenting you with a tool for creating a writing business plan, and that should help you kind of move into the new year. But these tools that I'm going to talk about today are going to also help you to do that. So the first step is to access your vision. As I said, I've been presenting you with tools that help you access your vision, asset mapping, and all sorts of other things, and those are great. But the tool that I have used over and over again with clients, that I've used over and over again personally, and the tool that I recommend to everybody, is the best possible self-exercise. I think that before any of us set a single goal, we need to have a sense of where we're going. Otherwise, the stuff we're doing may not add up to where we want to go, and we may end up in 5 years saying, well, you know, my experiences as a writer don't quite qualify me to do what I really want to do. So the best possible self-exercise gives you the opportunity to kind of figure out where you want to be in your writing career in 5 years, and then plan your goals according to that. So the best possible self-exercise just has you consider the simple question, where do you want to be in 5 years? What do you want to be doing with your career? What would you like to have written? How do you want to be earning money? Where do you want to live? What's the kind of the scope of your life? So I think as a writer, it's really crucial to have a long-range plan because it helps you to decide what projects to take on today. So what I want you to do is to take 5 to 20 minutes over the next few weeks and just write about where you would like to be 5 years into the future. The key is this. You want to write in the present tense. So you want to write as if it is 2018. Everything has gone as well as possible. You've worked hard. You've achieved all of your goals, and this is what your life looks like. And so you write in the present tense. And, you know, you can do it in different ways. You can write it as an acceptance speech for an award. You can write it as a blog post. You can write it as a feature article about yourself. In the original study, which was done several times by a number of positive psychologists, participants did the exercise four times. And as I've played around with this as a speaker and on my own and with clients, it seems that doing it more than once is really helpful, because the first time you do it, you're going to be pretty you know, stuck with what you're doing now. You won't be able to step very much out of your comfort zone. But the more you do it, the more kind of freewheeling you can be, and you'll get closer to your dreams or closer to your heart's desire. So, this is a great time of year because most of us have some downtime. There's not a lot of pressure from work, or at least I hope there's not a lot of pressure from work. And you can go ahead and, you know, take 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of a few days and just try this. Once you've done the exercise 4 times, then what I encourage people to do is take a look at what they've written. Ask yourself some questions. What themes emerge? You know, what things keep coming up over and over again? What projects show up repeatedly? And, you know, what surprises you? Do you find that you're writing about becoming a romance novelist, even though you've never thought about writing a romance novel? What project or projects do you want to accomplish this year? Based on everything that you come up with, you know, once you look at your best possible self exercise, ask yourself, well, what does this tell me about what I want to do this year? Because if you're going to get there in 5 years, you need to start working on it today. So ask yourself, what do I need to accomplish today in order to reach this vision in 5 years? What do I need to have done by the end of the year to reach this vision in 5 years? And then I think the second thing that makes this really helpful is when you're deciding on projects, so let's say an editor approaches you with an article on food carts or a big, huge project, and you can say, how is this project going to help me get to where I want to be in 5 years? And if it does, then it's a good project for you. If it doesn't, you know, if indexing 10 books this year isn't going to help you become a best-selling romance novelist, then maybe it's not the project for you. So the first thing I want you to do is access your vision, and you can do that by doing the best possible self-exercise. You can also use many of the exercises that I've put on my blog in the past few weeks, and I'm going to send these links to you once the recording is up. The second thing we need to do to make the new year work is to sharpen our focus. Once we have that vision, we need to choose specifically what we're going to work on. Again, we want to ask ourselves, what do we need to accomplish this year in order to reach our vision in 5 years? I think the most common problem I see clients come to me with is not that they have too few ideas, but they have too many ideas. And their life is so divided, their time is so divided among these 10, 12 ideas, and they're equally excited by them, that they can't focus in depth on one and really finish it. In other years, I've talked about the value of having just one single project at a time and just focusing on that and finishing that. And I still think that can really work, because when we divide our focus between multiple smaller projects, it can result in finishing nothing. But I think, you know, realistically, most of us can't focus on one single big project unless we're big name authors. Most of us are splitting our writing time between our genius project, the thing we really need to do to get to where we want to be in our best possible self vision, and our kind of stuff we do to earn money. So for me, I work part-time as an editor, and I need to do that. That pays my mortgage. That pays for my office. That pays for my website. Those are really important. But I have to juggle that with the dream projects, the novels I want to write. And so the thing that we need to do as writers is find a way to keep ourselves focused and focused on that genius project or that dream project so it doesn't fall by the wayside as we're taking on more projects to earn money or taking on more projects or more social media things to up our connectability or up our platform. So if we want to complete one more project this year, especially one that has a deadline, we need to discover how to keep them in front of us, how to focus on them. And I have 3 very simple tools that can help you do that. The first thing that I think is really helpful for staying connected to our vision is some sort of a vision board. And when I talk about vision board, I want you to think about this as being either virtual or kind of a real kind of bulletin board that you keep in your office. But a vision board traditionally has been filled with kind of the wild ideas, the best possible self vision things. Like, I'm going to live in this big house overlooking the ocean. So we might have a picture of that. Or I'm going to travel to Greece. And we might have a picture of that pristine Greek water. Or we might want to have some, you know, photos of our potential book covers. And I think that's really good. It's great to have one like that. It's also good to have a vision board with your specific goals or your specific vision for 2014. So you really want to have some visuals about what you're going to create as a writer this year. So if there are magazines you want to break into, so you want to break into Women's Day or InStyle or People Magazine or something really big, put that masthead up on your vision board. Put up a mock-up of your novel's cover or a mock-up of your nonfiction book cover. Put up some sort of a mock-up of the program you want to create, but have some sort of visual cue either in your office or on your computer that's going to help you create it. I know that you can do a lot of things on various tools on your computer to create a wallpaper that's going to hold that vision in front of you. The second thing I think that's really important is to create some space for your project, either virtual or physical. When I was in coaching school, one of the things they used to talk to us about is that we'd have to really make room for our potential clients. We couldn't just expect our clients to show up, and we couldn't go out seeking clients if we didn't have any time to see them. So they encouraged us to set up time in our schedule to see clients. And I think it's important to set up some virtual or physical face for our project. I, being a bit old-fashioned and having a lot of books that are related to my genius projects, I tend to actually clear out a shelf. I've also done that old kind of story Bible or project binder where once, if I come across an article that has to do with my newest book, I'll throw it in there. But you can do this virtually. You can create a private project board on Pinterest, and that's where you put all your ideas. You can put all your kind of character development tools and so forth. You just have to make sure you're going there. Another thing that I've done and a lot of my clients have done is I've created project files on my desktop. This doesn't work very well if your desktop is cluttered with, 3 dozen files. But if you can have a few really key files, and I think some of, at least my computer now allows me to color code them so I can tell which ones are most important. You can start a private project blog. If you're into that physical thing and you don't have a shelf, you can create a project file box, a tote bag, a cupboard, a drawer, just some place where you can say, I've set aside this space for my project. The third thing that I think is really helpful is something called a daily pray rain journal, or kind of a daily best possible self journal. And it's just a tiny, tiny journal. I think, one thing that really works nicely is the notes feature on your phone. And I have an iPhone, but I think most smartphones have some way that you can write notes or even texts to yourself. And what you do is you just write a few sentences a day as if you're living your best possible future life. So you might, pop in and say, I'm leading a seminar on dream interpretation through blah, blah, blah. And this could be part of what you'd envisioned your life to look like. Or it might be, I'm leading a book signing and a reading at the local bookstore because my book has become so popular. So having that little pray rain journal, and it can be a small paper journal, like the kind that a lot of us carry around with us, or index cards or even something on your phone can help you keep that in mind every single day. So the hour is going very fast, and we're already down to my third point, which is how to increase your productivity. And here I've got some specific tools, but let's go back and review. The first thing is to access your vision. Know where you want to go. The second thing is to sharpen your focus. So really know what your genius project is for this year. Know how else you're going to make your money. And then keep that in front of you in some really tangible ways, either with a vision board, some practical space in your office, and your daily kind of journaling. The third thing is our tools to increase your productivity. And again, when I started thinking about this, this turned out to be very simple tools that are going to help us. We're having a little echo, so I'm just going to mute the line again, and then we'll get back to this last thing. So these are just very simple tools that are going to help you increase your productivity. These are things I've talked about throughout the year in the blog, and hopefully they're things that are helpful to you. The first thing I think, and I say this all the time, so it feels like, oh, duh, but I forget to do it myself, schedule. You have to schedule the stuff you want to do. And scheduling is more than saying, I'm going to write between 9 and 10 every day, or I'm going to write between 3 and 5 every day, or I'm going to, you know, write once a week. Even if you say, I'm writing every day from 3 to 5 p.m., that's not enough. That's not enough to actually get our stuff done. And I know that I have great hopes of doing a lot on social media, and yet I never put it in my schedule, so I rarely get there. So it's important to do a few other things besides just scheduling and writing time. The first thing is discovering your genius time, the periods of day when you work best on the various tasks in your day, social tasks, intellectual tasks, and physical tasks. There's been tons of research on this. There are some general circadian things that people talk about, like, oh, you know, we tend to be most creative late morning and kind of mid-evening, like 7 to 9 when we're a little bit tired. We tend to be better at intellectual tasks first thing in the morning. So these are some things that scientists have discovered as they've studied circadian rhythms. But what I've experienced as I've worked with clients over the last 10 or so years is that this is really specific to each individual person. And I'm a great morning person in terms of writing, but a lot of my clients aren't. And they think, gosh, that is crazy to write in the morning. I have to write between 3 and 5 or between midnight and 3 a.m. So you need to find out when your genius time is for writing. And it's a simple process. It's just thinking back to when you did your best work as a writer and saying, okay, well, what times of day was that? And there are always going to be flukes. I mean, you know, when there's a deadline, we can all work 24 hours a day. But generally, there are times we do better. There are generally times when we work faster and smarter and that we feel like, quote-unquote, geniuses, which is why we call it genius time. So discover your genius times, but don't just do it for writing. Do it for everything, because you're going to be much better on social media if you're doing it during a time when you're feeling social. You're going to be much better at exercising if you're doing it at a time when you're a genius at physical skills. So kind of map your days, so to speak, and get a sense of when you do things best. The next thing is create a list of the things that you need to do in order to meet your goals this year. So it's going to be your stuff for your genius project. It's going to be stuff that has to do with building your platform. It's going to be stuff that has to do with you earning money and so forth, like, you know, doing your invoices, networking. But it's also going to be your health stuff, like exercising, eating well. So make your list. Work on novel. Write query letters. Connect on social media. Research. Write articles. Edit. You know, whatever it is. Once you have your list, then the next thing you do is you schedule these tasks. I encourage people to schedule tasks in chunks during your genius times for each type of task so that you're not, you know, at 3 o'clock every single day doing the invoices for that day, but you chunk them all together to 3 o'clock on Thursday and you spend an hour doing invoices. You know that you're good at coming up with new ideas in the morning. And so you think, okay, so Monday through Thursday in the morning, I'm going to come up with new ideas for the book I'm working on, but on Friday, I'm going to use that time to develop queries so that I can query 5 new markets a week. So chunk your stuff together and schedule your tasks in chunks. And put that in your calendar, because that way you're going to be most efficient. So, you know, people always say to me, how do you fit in social media? How does it work? I encourage people to chunk it together and take, you know, half an hour a day and use something like Hootsuite and just schedule your social media for the whole day or for 2 days, and then, you know, every other day do that. And then the last thing in terms of schedule is to take time at the very end of the workday to review the next day's schedule and then kind of add, delete, or move tasks. I also believe that it's helpful to add, you know, take time at the beginning of the week, or, you know, like on Friday for the next week, to kind of get things scheduled in the best way possible. And I know this always takes a lot of work, but it makes your weeks move much smoother and makes you so much more productive. The second tool I have for increasing your productivity is never face a blank page. You know, I've been writing for a long time, over 20 years, and I still find the idea of a blank page terrifying. And I still will, if I come to the blank page and say, okay, I got to write a newsletter article, or I've got to write a blog post, or I've got to write a whatever today, and I don't have any ideas, then I'm a mess. And it's the most unproductive time ever. The thing that has helped me the most is to never have to do that, to never have to face a blank page. So decide what chunk or scene you're going to write about during your next genius writing session. So at the end of each day, take 5 minutes and just say, okay, what am I going to write on tomorrow? If you have time, do a pre-write or jot down a brainstorm. Just jot down some ideas. Or jot down some notes in the computer so that you're going to remember where you're going to start. If it's hard for you to have that extra time, then at the end of your writing session, just stop in the middle of something and write a note to yourself. Okay, I'm going to pick up here. Chances are your brain is going to go ahead and work on that chunk. And so while you're making supper or doing the laundry or walking the dogs or whatever, you're going to be coming up with these ideas. The third thing I want to talk about, And maybe the most important thing, is creating a writing-friendly environment. As a culture, I think we're addicted to the dopamine hit that we get when we're interrupted by a text message or email or a phone call, and we're thinking, oh my gosh, it's my agent, or it's an invitation for a speaking gig, or it's, you know, it's something really exciting. And usually it's none of those things. It's, you know, something silly, which is fine. But we become addicted to this. So we have our phones with us. They say people now check their cell phones 150 times during the day. Sometimes it's just to read and send texts. Other times it's just to figure out like what time it is. Sometimes it's to take photos. But the fact remains, that's a lot of checking. And I did the math once, and it turns out, you know, it's about every 5 minutes that we're looking at our phone. Today when I was at the Y, I heard a story on the news about a woman who fell into a river in Australia because she was checking her cell phone for her Facebook feed to see what was going on, and got distracted and fell in and had to be rescued. So, you know, we're a very distracted society. According to the computer program Rescue Time, which tracks how users spend their time on their computer, we use 16 different programs, and in addition to our word processing program, we visit 40 different websites and get interrupted every 5.2 minutes a day by an instant message, or I don't know about you, but I have a new thing on my computer called a notification system. So it notifies me, it can notify me every time a tweet comes up in my feed, or a post on Facebook, or even, you know, a ping on something I've looked at on Google. Another really disturbing study that I had read about in the book, The Plateau Effect, from the University of London, said that checking our email while performing a creative task decreases our IQ in the moment 10 points. They said it's the equivalent of not sleeping for 36 hours or twice the impact of smoking marijuana. So when we're so distracted by email and Facebook and all that stuff while we're writing, we're not very productive. So we kind of need to create a media-free writing zone. Because, you know, in addition to all that media, we also have like a lot of stuff that we need to worry about. So we're writing along and thinking, should I publish this traditionally? Should I self-publish it? You know, I wonder if I need to go see the dentist. What should I have for dinner? I hope my dog's okay. Oh, this article sucks. And so we've got all this stuff going around in our head, and we feel really anxious. So I have two tools that I think are really helpful for this. The first is to create a media-free writing zone, at least for the hour or two that we're writing on our Genius project. What I've discovered is that if I can spend an hour or two in solid writing time without going to Facebook, without checking my phone, without going on email, then I get a lot done. And then if the rest of the day I'm doing less and I'm more interrupted and more connected to social media, it's okay. But you need that 2 hours of uninterrupted writing time. I like it at the beginning of the day before I've checked email. Some writers like to make sure everything's okay, you know, kind of like tucking in their sleeping children, and then they can work on writing at the end of the day after they've emailed all their friends and emailed all their business contacts and done the stuff they had to do for others. Then they can go ahead and work on their own stuff. But whenever you do it, just make sure it's media free. Give your brain that time to really work on your project. The second thing is to dump the angst. There are many ways to dump that kind of inner angst that we deal with. But here are a few. One is to schedule your to-do list so that you know everything that you're worrying about getting done is going to be taken care of at some time. So if you're worried about going to the dentist, make a dentist appointment and forget it. Or make an appointment with yourself to make a dentist appointment. The second thing is to spend the first 10 minutes of your writing time doing a free write or a daily dump or something in your journal so all of your angst can kind of go there. It's kind of just the equivalent of, you know, dumping it in your journal and letting it go away. Another thing you can do is perform some sort of ritual to let go of the angst and then take on the writing. Anne Lamott wrote about leaving her worries in a little God box, you know, writing her stuff in and putting it in God's inbox. A colleague of mine kind of sets apart her writing space by lighting a candle. When Amy Tan was here talking about her newest novel, she talked about how she always has at least one song and usually a playlist for every novel because she needs to get into the mood of what she's writing. And her newest novel is a historical novel, so she wanted her music to take her back to this time and place. So she would put the music on, and that would enable her to move kind of from the mundane to the place of her writing. So you can use any of those tools as well as anything that you come up on your own. The third tool that I think is essential for us to be more productive is to create a plan for what I call shiny object syndrome. As I said at the beginning of the call, most writers have more ideas than we have time to execute them. And once we're working on a novel or a longer piece, shiny object syndrome happens, which is we're like, oh, okay, so we're writing our book, and then we're like, oh, you know, wouldn't it be great if I wrote a book on blah, blah, blah? Or shouldn't I, you know, come up with a business where I sold blah, blah, blah? Or even, you know, something mundane like, I wonder if my feet would be warmer if I got a new pair of winter boots. And so we become so enamored of the shiny object that often we end up delving into a rabbit hole, following the shiny object down a path. And before we know it, we've lost 2 hours and been to 40 different internet sites looking for those winter boots. The people who are successful at being productive are able to find a way to kind of contain that idea and keep writing, to say, okay, that's a great idea, but I'm going to deal with it later. Some researchers call this kind of putting on the brakes. So you break and just put away the idea that's the shiny object and go back to the thing that you're working on. So I think what we really need, you know, to kind of calm us down. Because I think what happens as writers is we think, oh my God, this is such a great idea. I don't want to lose it. So we need to find a way to kind of catch the idea and contain it and then go back to work, knowing that it's going to be there when we get done with our work for the day. And we're not going to lose it. And it's not going to go down the street to some other great writer. So use what works for you. I usually have a document open on my computer when I'm working for my shiny ideas. And so I just throw them in there, and I put everything in there from my things I have to do, like call the dentist, to, you know, my great business ideas, to things I'm going to do with the kids that I teach at the library. So, you know, throw it all in something like that, and then you can come back to it at the end of your writing session. Some of my clients who are more paper-oriented will use a notebook, you know, or some sort of paper, but you just need a place to jot down your ideas and then keep writing. The fifth tool in this productivity section is review and repeat. Systems work best when we tweak them to fit our needs. So as you work to implement this process, check your progress once a week and change things as you need to. I think some people will find that, oh, I work better with a little bit of distraction, so maybe I should work in a coffee shop. Or I'm really not a very productive writer in the morning. I need to work early in the afternoon. So just review and repeat it every week for the first few weeks till you get a system that works for you. And the fourth step, which I think is really important, is to take a day of what I call balcony time, maybe once a quarter, to do what we've been talking about for the whole session. So, you know, one of the things I say is at this time of year, it's very popular or common for us to kind of take some time and envision our future and then set goals. And it can be really helpful for us to do that, not just in January, but once a quarter. So maybe, you know, we do it again in March or in April or May, or we do it again in June and then again in next December, but take a few times during the year to get away from your office and kind of take a bird's eye view of your life, kind of look at your calendar, look at your invoices and what you've produced, look at what's working and what's not working, and then put on your scientist hat. I mean, I think so many of us, when we take the time away, tend to put on the judge's robes and say, oh my gosh, you haven't accomplished what I thought you'd accomplish this year. That's not really helpful. What's more helpful is to put on your scientist hat and say, okay, let's look at the data. How am I doing at putting my vision into practice? What's working? What's not working? Just treat everything that you see as data or information. So you're not judging yourself for not working on your dream project or for losing focus. You're saying, okay, so what's happening? You know, why am I having difficulty getting to work on my novel? Or why am I not getting to social media? As I kind of analyzed my inability to get to social media, I realized, I never schedule it. You know, I just expect that at 12:30 I'm going to do it, but it's not on my schedule, so I never actually do it. I use that time to write or edit or so forth. And then ask yourself some questions. Well, has my life changed? Have the circumstances of my life changed? Have I needed to look for more work, or have I needed to work more? Or has my work life my work challenges, have they increased? Has my vision changed? Have I, you know, been working on this novel and find I really don't like writing novels, I'd rather write a nonfiction project? Or have I been offered some work that's just, you know, too lucrative to turn down? Maybe this isn't the right time for this project. So just kind of look at everything and then revise your vision, revise your focus, and then move forward into a new, you know, new system with a new schedule that's going to work for you. And if you can do this over and over through the year, I think you're going to have a very productive, wonderful year. So that's my presentation for today. It's fairly short. My hope is to get you guys going for a really good 2014. And I'm going to take the next 2 weeks off so I can do all the work that I've been talking about this hour. Any questions? Well, then I think I'm going to wrap up the call. I just want to remind you that I will be having a new mastermind classes starting next year. So if you have any ideas for what you'd like, either send me an email or put a note on my Facebook page, facebook.com/rightnowcoach. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and this has been the Right Now Mastermind class. Thanks so much for coming, and have a brilliant holiday season. Take care. Bye-bye.